Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
And now we get to do something that we also enjoy very much. We're going to have communion today. Every first of the month, we have communion. We had it last week because it was Easter, but every first of the month we have corporate communion. And as I've said before, the rest of the Sundays communion is in the back, and you're invited to go on your own with your family, a friend, but it's always back there to have every Sunday. But today is the first Sunday, so we're going to do it together. So as the servers pass out the elements, you're going to have two little glasses, one on top of each other. Sometimes it's hard to take apart, but have fun doing it. And when we're done, then the servants will come up and pick them up from you. So while the servants are passing out the elements, I always like to read a portion of the Bible relating to who Jesus is and what He did for us. So today, I'm going to read out of Colossians 1, starting with verse 15. And so it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in the heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." Isn't that beautiful? "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Good news, right?
Amen.
Amen. Because of the work on that cross that Jesus did, He says that His presence is now within us. And as the Word tells us, that whenever we take communion, that we are to do it in remembrance of what He did on that cross. He doesn't want us to forget and just take these elements as just something that nice that we do. It's just a reminder. It's just symbols of what He did on that cross. So the Word says that on the night that He was betrayed, and after giving thanks, he broke bread, and He told His disciples that this was His body, and what we see it as is a body that was broken for us, so that as His body was broken, then we could be whole. And so please take the bread. And in the same way, He took the cup. And this cup is a representation of the blood that He shed on that cross. Blood that went for the forgiveness of our sins. And the Word says that He doesn't remember our sins. They're gone because of what Jesus did on the cross. When He looks at us, He sees the Son, His Son, in us. So every sin, past, present, future, even future, has been forgiven. So when you take this, just acknowledge that. Let it sink into your heart. You have been forgiven. Take the blood. And just take a moment before anybody collects the glasses and just do what the Word says. Just remember. Place them in your mind. Let them stir your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
So I had a breakthrough and a good testimony for this week. So anyways, about 2 weeks ago, God told me I need to move on. You know, you all know my wife died 7 months ago. So God told me to move on. Well, I didn't really do much about moving on at that point. But then Pastor Stella came up last week or so, and told me God had a word for me to move on. And then I took action. That day I took action. And then Robin Bullock, a prophet, said that Christians as a whole, we need to move forward. So anyone who's living in the past, you know, our lives are not in the past, or it's in the future. So I would hope everyone who's living in the past would just give it over to the Lord and move forward and do what God wants you to do. So anyways, he freed me from my mourning process is all over, and I'm free. So thank you.
Good morning. I've been convicted the last couple weeks, and that's why I haven't been up here. I just fall so short, and I don't know. And I've been looking at the story of Lot in the Bible and how he was so tortured by everything around him and everything. And I don't know. I wrote this morning, and I'm just trying to do better every day. That's for sure. I know how far from God I feel, but know his cleansing blood does heal. He knows all of my flaws. Christ shed his blood upon the cross for all our sins he suffered loss. He loves us all, even when we fall. Our good shepherd loves us true. He will not leave us if we cry. He knows our hearts and won't deny, but turn back to the fold. For God chose us and will mold and seal, and through his word will then reveal the path for us to go. Lord, please have me choose what is right. Have me not give up the fight. Have me choose what is so true, and have me keep my eyes on you to choose the path you've planned for me, for only then will I be free.
You know, God's really been talking to me a lot this week about, you know, we can really constantly talk about how we trust in God, but when things come up in our lives, it really takes faith to step out and say, I'm trusting you through all of it, right? But that's the thing, is that a lot of times it kind of shows how much faith when you're also in a battle of how much do I want to let go, right? And that's the thing, is we don't have to worry about anything. See, the Bible gives us lots of different places where it talks about how he's already worked it out for us. And in many different ways, right? Like going all the way back to even like Old Testament and, you know, the amount of times that they're believing in him in impossible battles that he just will win in equally impossible ways, right? To show who he is. And it's the same thing in our life. There's not a single thing that comes up or that happens that we shouldn't be doing exactly what Steve was even talking about this morning, moving forward. See, when things come against us, we have a tendency to either stop or to look back, scared, right? Like, what am I supposed to do? But what God's trying to get us to learn is it doesn't matter the situation, the thing that's happening, how tall or how low the mountain or the valley might seem, it's always a moving fort. See, moments where we go through difficult times should be the moments, especially when we just turn to God. Because it can be easy for us to decide, you know what? I gotta do something right now. See, emotions can be dangerous sometimes, right? Because human nature is a lot of times wanting to make a decision based on what you're going through, what you're seeing, the degree of how bad your opposition is, right? But we have to learn that regardless of what that is, we should be surrendering it all the time. See, we're not meant to fight the battle. We're meant to allow God to fight those battles for us. And a lot of times, those battles are fought in your prayer closet, in your time one-on-one with God, where He's not just pouring in, but He's teaching, He's giving you new things, He's building you up, and He's pushing you even more forward than where you're at. See, that's why it's a forward motion, right? It's because if we allow God to deal with us on things and move us forward the way He's trying to move us forward, it's greater and quicker than anything that we could ever do on our own. It's why your light begins to shine so bright. It's because, see, the world, all human nature deals with things because of emotion, right? But we're meant to deal with things in the kingdom, which is to set those aside so that we can move forward in what He has for us. I feel like worship is so much of that for me, right? The ability to just spend time and just enjoy the presence of God, it really can be a extremely freeing time in your life where all the burdens just feel like they're lifted, you feel surrounded, you feel loved. But that's the thing, every time we're in worship, every time we're going after Him in reading and praising, that's what He's doing in our life. That's why the Bible talks about a peace that passes all understanding. See, it doesn't have to make sense to you, but as you go after God, you'll notice that it's there. You'll feel those things just begin to break. You'll feel those things just begin to lighten. You'll feel that reassurance that every single thing that's happening is according to God's will, and that it's working out for good and it's working out for better than what you could ever think is happening in your life. Whew. You know, that's exciting because that means every single thing is a victory already if you look at it that way. If you look at it as you're prepping me, you're pushing me forward, you're giving me more, every single thing in your life is just a push forward. If you allow Him to do it, which makes you so much greater and so much mightier than anything we can do by ourselves. It's where you become the effective working body of Christ. Whew. Functioning as one. So I want to go back into the first part of this song. It talks about, I don't have enough words. Never live enough lifetimes to fully know your worth. See, that's the thing. It's a pressing in, right? We're are always going after, wanting to know who he is. And as you go after, he's just going to keep revealing. And just like that, it says, I love it. I'll never live enough lifetime. And that's great, because all I want is to keep getting more. And he constantly has it. He's constantly giving you more. He's constantly just feeding things into your life. And if you feel like you're at a point like, I don't know which way to go, that's okay. Allow him to show you, because he's going to take you somewhere great. He really is. If you're still here, he's still working in you.
Okay. So before we even started worshiping, the song came to me, I Surrender All. And here we wound up singing it. And what really deeply comes to my heart is that, you know, who surrendered it all for you? It was Jesus, wasn't it? I mean, we just celebrated that a week ago. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew what was before him. He knew the sacrifice that he had to make for us so that we could become one with him. And it just surrendering, that's what he did. He surrendered to the point of sweating blood for us. And so also I see that he's an example of what we should do. We should be surrendering all to him. We should be on our knees and surrendering as he did. And I just pray that we'll get in that place. I pray that for this body, that we will surrender everything that we've been holding on to, that we've been trying to make happen. We can do that, yes, but that's called the flesh. And the flesh is weak. But praise the Lord that his spirit is in us. Because his spirit is in us, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. So the whole bottom line of this message, it just completely went with my sisters, to surrender your life to him. Give him everything and see what he has for you. Don't try to do it on your own. He's there. He's there, just waiting. He wants to do it for you. So, Father, right now, I just want to lift up this body, Father. Father, I thank you for your movement. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your Holy Spirit presence here. And, Lord, you said that whatever's agreed upon on earth is agreed upon in heaven. So right now, we are agreeing with you, Lord, by saying amen, that we surrender all. We give it all to you, Lord Jesus, because you gave it all to us. So we thank you, Lord, that there is no one like you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am. And there is nothing impossible for you. So, Lord, we just say, we surrender all to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to confirm what Mary Elena just said. Before she got up here, I wrote this on my bulletin. Surrender to me, my children. Surrender your hearts, your minds, and your souls to me, for I have a new way for you. I wrote that before she came up here.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
One of the things is what everybody's been saying is about surrendering. Well, the Lord wants you to surrender your voice. He wants you to speak for him. You are his hands and feet, and he wants you to be the one to say something. There's a scripture in Matthew 25:14, and it talks about the bags of gold. Each of us have a bags of gold that God has given us. And it talks about in the scripture where the father gave one person five bags, another one had two bags, and another one had one bag. And as he did that, the one of them with the five bags went and got five more. The one with the two bags got more, got two more. And the ones with the one bag buried it. they buried it, and God was not, he did not share what God has done for him. And what we have, what these bags are our testimony. Our testimony is, you woke up this morning. You have a peace. You have a testimony. It doesn't matter if you were healed, if you were able to financially. There's always something that, if you really look at it and you just speak in your quiet time, you have a testimony. And the word testimony is asking God to do it again. So when you share your testimony, if you've had a healing, instead of praying, Lord, I hope you heal them. No, you go and share your testimony and say, God healed me. And if he healed me, he can heal you, because he is no respecter of person. So whatever it is, let him. It says that he entrusts you with your testimony. He wants you to share your voice and let people know. And it says that he says he entrusted you, and he says, come and share your master's happiness. It gives him pleasure whenever you let people know what he has done for you, because then he can do it again.
Okay, so here I am. I had no plan to get up here. It's totally the Holy Spirit, because I can 100% stand here and say, I surrender all. I surrender my past. And the thing that I want to stand up here and say, though, like Stella said, to get up and share, is that the Lord has given me supernatural. So if there's anybody in this room that ever wondered, gosh, how am I going to get through the day, or how am I going to do this day, or how, it's the Lord that does it. The Lord is the one that goes before you, goes behind you, goes around you, goes beside you, goes around, is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. So yesterday, as an example, the Fiesta Saharita event was a 14-hour day yesterday. You would have thought I was floating around like a feather. I was floating around the community. I was floating around talking to people. And it was, I know it was the Lord, because I had supernatural strength the entire day. The day before was like a 12-hour day. Supernatural strength. So if anybody wonders, how do I do this? It's because it's the Lord that does it through you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So I figure I better get up here, because I just showed Terry right as Stella was reading about the parable of the bags of gold. That's what I had open on my phone, because that's what I was looking at. All right. So so, you know, how many know that there's like an eclipse tomorrow? Anybody heard of that? Okay. So like my YouTube algorithm's been going crazy, right? Saying all these people is like, is it gonna be the end of the world? Will Jesus return? The red heifer has appeared, you know? I don't wanna make like light of that, okay? Cause, all right. Eventually, Jesus will return, right? He's gonna give us signs. But the big thing is if you look at when Jesus is going to return, so many times it says that he's going to come at a time you're not expecting, like a thief in the night, right? Right? And the important thing isn't to necessarily know when he's coming back, okay? The important thing is to be ready, not waiting, not just like sitting there with your bags packed, but ready in a way that you are a person who is doing what God has called you to do. Just like that master who gave the gold to his people, his servants, right? Shout out to the NIV for calling it bags of gold. Because that's what I use. But KJV says talents, right? Right? And if you think about it, we have talents, okay? God equips us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us power to do things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. Supernaturally gifted, each and every one of us who has chosen to follow Jesus. And it is time for us now to not just be waiting with our bags packed anywhere or just waiting on God to do something for us. But if God's called us to something, to do something, that we actually go and do it.
I just wanted to tell you guys about the wonderful gifts of God, because before I didn't have such a great father, well, a biological one. I kept asking God to take me out of that situation, and one day my parents paid a lot of money, and I got taken out of that situation, and I don't have to go anymore. And now I have a wonderful father over there that he's done a lot for me, and he cares about me so much. And he has a lot of love for me, just like God would for all you guys. He loves me unconditionally, just like God loves all of you, because you all are his children, and so am I.
Come on, mijo. That was wonderful. That's exactly. Hey, you. That's right. You watch what these kids will be doing. Amen. Come on, man. We're raising a generation. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, God's raising a generation. We're just here watching. Amen. Come on, man. Glory to God. Ooh, I got a little hot behind that guitar there, man. Glory to God. Welcome this morning. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Amen. Are you glad you're in church?
Yes.
Are you really sure? Are you glad?
Yes.
Are you here today? Or are you thinking about being somewhere else? Eh? Come on, man. We're gonna talk a little bit about what you're thinking. Amen. What does it say on your bulletin this morning?
What do you think?
What do you think? Amen. We're gonna talk about thinking. Is that all right? Yeah, I think he's going too long is what it says. I think the music's going too long. Yeah, amen. I think it's too loud in here. I think it's cold in here. What are you thinking this morning? Amen. Come on, man. Oh, boy. I tell you what. We're always thinking. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, quit thinking for a while. Look at the other one on the other side and say, quit thinking for a while. What do you think about that? Tell them that. What do you think about that? Come on, man. You can go out there and tell folks. You can go out there and tell folks, hey, I've been in church today. And then what did they tell you? Well, they told me not to think. Come on, man. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, man. I think I could use a nap myself. I was up till 2 o'clock waiting for this message. I said, come on, God. I would love to be in bed, God. I got a brand new phone. I think I dropped it about 12 times last night. Kind of searching, looking at my Bible, looking up words, looking up things, and falling and pick it up. Man, oh, where was I? Yes. I had to start all over in some of those. You know what I mean? You kind of forgot where you're at. Yeah, I wasn't thinking too straight. Oh, but then he began to talk to me. Hey, let me just say this to you. I believe all of us need to hear this message this morning. But there's somebody in particular in the house that I sense that God is saying to you, I need you to watch about what you think. I need you to think about. You know, the Bible says whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are what? Honest, whatsoever things of good report. Is that right? It says, doesn't it say to what? Think on these things. Is that right? Think on those things.
Amen.
The good things. The good things. So we're just going to look a little bit. And I'm going to take you to a couple of scriptures where Jesus was talking to his disciples and talking to the Jews around him. And I love the confrontations that Jesus has with the religious people. Can you say amen? How many are religious in this house? I was counseling these two young people that want to get married. And I asked the young man, I go, where did you go to church? He goes, I'm not religious. And I looked at him and I said, thank God. I said, I'm not religious either. I just love God. God is the best friend, the best, man, he is everything. If you just, I mean, yeah, you don't need to be religious, brother. I think it stunned him because he stood there looking at me for a while. And I said, you know what? This is not a religion. How many say amen? It's a relationship with God.
Yes.
You maintain that relationship by spending time with God. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Amen.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take you, if you will, turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. She's back. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate you. Appreciate you playing that. Doing music behind me. I truly believe that somehow melody carries the word of God into a heart just beautifully. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that's why a lot of you like playing music. And how many like playing music? Yeah, some of you are afraid to raise your hand, but that's okay. Raised too, yeah. We just love music. Music, what would life be without music? Isn't that crazy? I wonder what we'd be doing. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. Anyway, Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Jesus is in the house. Amen? Can you say amen? And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was borne by four. And when they could not come near to him because of the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lie. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? I love this. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go thy way into your house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. Amen. See, Jesus perceived what they were thinking in their hearts. Isn't that cool? How many like to know that Jesus knows what you're thinking in your heart? Uh-oh. Some of you are going, uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Hey, Pastor, don't say that to me. Yeah, I'm going to read it to you again. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 9. It's the same story, but it's Matthew's account of the same story. Is that okay? You okay with that? We okay? We go through the Word of God, looking at a couple of witnesses, like Sister Stella said, giving you a witness of what's going on. Here's Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1. It says this, And he entered in the ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? What are you thinking? Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins forgiven or to arise and walk? Which one's easier? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go into your house. And he arose, departed into his house. Though when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which God had and glorified God, which had given such power to men. Amen. Oh, it was a little more than just a man standing there. Is that right? It was the Son of God. And how many of you know when he said your sins forgiven are forgiven you, he's the only one that could say that. Is that right? Nobody else could say that. And those men knew that, but they didn't know who he was. So they were accusing him in their hearts. They didn't even say it out loud. Jesus perceived, or he heard their thoughts, that they were speaking in their heart. Isn't it comforting to know, I'm going to ask you again, that Jesus knows all your thoughts? Ha ha. Yeah. What a comfort. You know, that guy that crossed in front of you on the highway? Ha ha. Yeah, isn't it comforting to know? Jesus knows what you're thinking. Amen? When you're thinking it. Yeah, come on, man. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, Jesus, God is telling us right off the bat, don't be conformed to this world. The conformity is how you think, how the world thinks. Can I tell you that there's a lot of people out there saying things that are, and maybe it's not even what God is thinking. Can you say amen? How many of you know we need to know what God is thinking? Can you know what God is thinking? Can you know that? I'll tell you how you can. You can know what God's thinking by his word. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? Is that what the word of God says? He's always the same. And it's a possibility for us to know what God's thinking. Is that okay? Especially, listen to me. I like that song that we sang this morning. Was it in the river? No, I can't think of it right now. Played it all morning. How's it go? In the river. I'm having one of those days. Yeah. We're in Green Valley. Do you know what that river is? It's talking about the river. Put up the lyrics, Liz, real quick. There's a river flowing deep inside. Do you realize what it's talking about? When I hear the song, I go, oh, yeah. How come they're not dancing? Oh, how come they're not jumping? How come they're so calm? You know, why am I? Wait. Put up the chorus part. There is a river where goodness flows. There's a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising. You know what he's talking about? Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do you understand that? There's a river that you can tap into. It's a wonderful river. Amen? And in this river flows this thing of what the Lord is saying. How many are musicians in the house? Raise your hand, bro. Yeah, raise it up. I know there's some musicians in the house, but I do know this, that as you worship with your instrument, that God begins to speak. He'll speak to your heart. The rest of you, how many of you don't play instruments? Anybody? Some of you just won't. That's an instrument right there. That's an instrument. And you can bring your instrument before the Lord, man. And you can use that instrument. You can, whatever, you can use your instruments to raise this praise and this worship before God. And a lot of times this river begins to move around with inside of you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This river begins to move. And then all of a sudden things might start flowing out of your mouth. The word of God might come out. You might remember a scripture or whatever. And God begins to speak to you. He brings his thoughts in this river. Isn't that right? Ooh, yeah. So, we can find out what God is thinking. But there has to be, I want you to bring up this, in that last one, I think it, man, while we were playing this music, I usually pay attention to the chords. Is that okay? Because I have to. You better pay attention to the chords, Hank. You know, but I was just noticing the words. I'm like, oh my God, do you know what it's saying? And here's a. Let me just. Where's it at? I'm sorry. This is not part of what I planned, but man, it just started flowing so good. Eh? It's on. This is how I thank the Lord. It's on the pre-chorus. Can you bring that up? Do you know which one it is? Is the words start out, all of my affection. You guys, so the pre-chorus, it says, all of my affection, everything I have to give. And then it says this, the sum of my attention, of how much attention are you placing in on God when you're worshiping? Is half your heart out the door and the other half in here maybe? The sum of your attention is measured in the praise I lift. Do you see that? How much attention you're placing in Him when you're raising, when you're loving on Him? Oh, God loves it. And He will reward you. Can I say amen? Can you say amen to that? I can say amen to that. Can you say amen to that? Amen? Hallelujah. There's a river that flows. It's an ocean within you. Can you say amen to that? You say, ooh, that's a lot of water. How many of you have seen the ocean? That's a lot of water. You just stand, if you're standing on the beach, you're just looking at a little bit. Is that right? How many of you have been on the ocean? Come on, yeah. Is there a lot of water there? Yeah. Oh, boy. It's an ocean that's within you. Bringing forth the presence of God. And it's in this river that He begins to transform your mind. Do you know that? Be not transformed. I mean, be not conformed. Amen. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's in this river where you begin to be transformed. Amen. Come on, you begin to think like God. Can you say, I want to think like God? I want to act like you, talk like you. I want to think like you, God. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you, if you're thinking like God, you're going to see some things going on. Is that right? You're going to know some things. You're going to hear some things. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Don't get excited because this is as husbands, love your wives, okay? That's the first part. But I want you to look at the second part. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Did God love the church? Did Christ love the church? Absolutely. How do you know? He gave Himself for us. Is that right? Every one of us. Every one of us. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it. By what? What do you read? The washing of water. What? By the word. See, He says, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we going to get our mind renewed? By the word. Worshiping God and allowing His word to wash your mind. Is that right? Yes. I've heard people tell me, Henry, you're brainwashed. Yeah, you're right. Actually, it's more like I'm heart washed. My heart has been washed. And it's affecting my brain. Can you say amen? No wonder you're so weird. Yeah, I'm weird, bro. I am weird. Hallelujah. My heart's washed and it's affecting who I am. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many want your heart washed? Don't want none of that junk that God don't like. Amen? I want my heart clear and pure before Him. Woo! Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. We're going to hang around this one for a little bit. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. How do you draw near to God? What does the Bible say? And it says, enter His courts with, ooh, God, I want to thank you. Yeah. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for today. Amen? enter his courts with thanksgiving and enter his gates with praise. Is that right? Ooh, God, take out your instrument and say, God, I just want to thank you. It's a beautiful day. Amen? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Can he be found?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you bet. Call upon him while he's near. The Bible says draw near unto God and he'll draw near to you. Is that okay?
Yes.
He's always with us. He's always around us. But there is something about when he draws near, there's something about within. You feel this thing. You feel the Holy Spirit beginning to move and push on you. Is that okay? I remember sitting in a service one time, and this might be happening to you this morning, but I was sitting in the service like, man, this is a boring service. Anybody feel like that this morning? My wife's laughing at me. She goes, I do. No. This is a boring service. And I turned over and I looked at this guy that was sitting on me, and he's bawling his eyes out. Man, I'll tell you what, I got convicted. I said, man, God, I'm sorry. There's more things going on that I really realized. Amen? God does things, folks. And if your heart is in connection to him, if you allow your heart in worship to connect, it's okay if you jump around up here. It's okay if you get down on the rug and just worship him. It's okay. It's allowed here. Hallelujah. However, God, see, we're all different. Is that right? Sometimes I say, Lord, how come they just sit there? How can they just sit there? Well, we're all different. Is that right? Praise God. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, some of you that are just sit there, folks, you're going to feel pretty weird in heaven. People are going to be looking at you. I said, man, that's the king up there. Yeah. Folks, I had a young lady in my youth group. Really nice and sweet all the time. Never hurt. And, you know, and when she'd worship God, she'd praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, like some of y'all. Praise the Lord.
This is how I think.
But I called her dad one time when the U of A, when the Wildcats were playing. And she was in the background. I could hear her screaming and crying and yelling. I go, who's that at your house? Well, that's Leanne. I said, you got to be kidding me. I got to come over, man. I got to see this. I told her about it. I said, I heard you screaming on the... She goes, no, you didn't. I said, I did. I was talking to Dad on the phone, man. I said, man, if we don't... Leah, I'm just going to say, if we only went after God, if our affections were toward God like they are in some other things that we have around us, come on. Come on, folks. Are your affections geared to worship God at an instant? All of a sudden, walking through an auto parts store, boom, oh, man, you start worshiping God. Maybe you fall down on your knees and just say, God, I just thank you. I sense you, Lord. I know you're doing something in my life. Whew. Are your affections geared to worship God? With all your heart, can you? Oh, hallelujah. God knows your heart. He sees it. He hears the thoughts. He knows when you're half-heartedly worshiping him. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all your heart. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Is that again?
Amen.
And the unrighteous man forsake your thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How many of you believe that? He's always after you. He's always after your heart. If there's anything about, you see Saul and David, King Saul and King David, the difference was their heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Saul was a man into himself. He was ruled by his self. He walked in selfishness. Can you say amen to that? That's what it was. Folks, the God of this world, I was speaking to somebody this morning, the God of this world is not the devil, because the devil is not a God. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He's not omni, all those other words, whatever those are. He's none of that. He's not a God. But we were created in the image of God. Do you understand that? We've been created in the image of God. So God says, man, you know what? He said, you all are gods. Y'all are gods. Is that right? You're not God Almighty. You need Him. But you are created after Him, making you a God. That's why you have the authority to say things in the earth, and they should be. This mountain will be removed, is what Jesus said. So the God that blinds our eyes is the God of self. Selfishness. Want it my way. If they don't want to do it my way, they can hit the highway, because I want it my way. And I'm not going to give it to anybody else. Is that right? Oh, you might look sweet and pretty on the outside, but I want it my way. Oh, boy. You know what's cool about when I can't sleep and I don't have sleep and I come over and begin to preach? I can feel God saying, yes, sit down, bro. I'm going to take over, man. Because I wasn't even talking. I wasn't even thinking about talking to y'all about you having it your way. God's not Burger King. Nope. Amen? He is the King of Kings. Yes. And He's going to have it His way. Is that right? Take up your cross, folks. Follow Him. It will be the best place that you can imagine for you. There's no other place like that. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 55. We're going to jump up back up to verse 2 and 3. It says this. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Your labor for that which does not satisfy. And then he says this. Hearken diligently to me. This is what God's saying. Listen to me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Can I say this to you? That by listening to what God is saying to you personally will strengthen you. It will cause you to be satisfied. Satisfied. I don't need any more God as long as I got you. Can you say amen? If I don't have God, I've got nothing. But if I got God, I've got everything I need. Can you say amen? Because that's who He is. He is your provider. He's everything to you. Hallelujah. And we're going to go back down to, now we're going to go down to Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 11. I hope you're taking notes, but this is an easy one because most of it's in Isaiah 55. God says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We'll stop right there just for a minute. So God is telling us His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. And a lot of us might think, well, man, what good is it going after you? Because my thoughts cannot be your thoughts, my ways cannot be. That's not what He's saying. There's a way to get to His thoughts. Is that right? They're higher. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Is that right? So how do we get to those ways? The Word of God says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself. And then He says, and He will pick you up. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up to His ways and His thoughts. Is that okay?
Amen.
Ooh, come on, man. I was a planner for 7 years up at the mine for the maintenance thing. And, you know, this is one of my testimonies. A lot of you have heard this. Oh, no, He's going to talk about it again. And even I thought that to the Lord, you want me to say that again? Again. And then Stella gets up here and says, you got to tell your testimony. I said, oh, okay, I'll do it again. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I was a planner at the mine. And while I'm sitting at my desk, I'm working on the stuff I need to be working on. And all of a sudden, a part of a pump or a part just comes whoom, racing into my head. And I thought about it. I go, I wonder what I thought about that. Didn't pay much attention to it. Left it alone. Just about 3 or 4 days later, these guys come in. They say, hey, man, Henry, this the warehouse says that they have this part, but there's none there. And I go, and I thought about that part just the other day. And it happened again. Yeah, how many know your pastor's got a thick head? Some of you, yeah. So a lot of you guys, man, that guy's got a thick head. It takes him a while to learn anything. He don't get it. I'm asking him to do stuff, and he don't get it. Yeah, you got a thick head. Well, it took me a while. I heard it again. I didn't pay much attention to it. A few days later, the guys come in. They ask me, hey, man, do you know anything about this? I said, no, man, but I'll get it here. And so I realized that I was hearing something. I realized God was speaking to me. You know, God sounds like Henry's voice to me. Does that sound crazy? You know, a lot of times you're going to hear God saying something to you, and it sounds just like you thinking, but it's him. He usually talks in a quiet mode. So what I did, I said, every time that started happening, I'd write it down. Usually by the end of the day, I'd have 5 or 6 items, maybe 10, and I'd go over to the warehouse at the end of the day, and I'd walk in there. I said, hey, I need to check these parts. And every one of those parts on that list that I heard, they were either stocked wrong, somebody went in at night and pulled them out of the shelf and used it up and didn't buy it. So all of these things were happening. God knew about, but I didn't know about. But now all of a sudden, I'm in tune with my Father. Can you say amen to that? Let me just say this to you. God's not religious either. He's not religious. He'll talk to you in your job. He'll talk to you wherever you're at. He'll talk to you in the bathroom. John was talking about the 1800s. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to an outhouse today? But God will talk to you if you listen. See, I was having a listening problem. But when I began to listen, things began to change. I'd go over there and take the little stack. I'd say, hey, man, we need to check these parts. Where before they would say, oh, yeah, come on in. Well, after they said, hey, that's our job. Give us that list. And so when there was a change in the way we were functioning at the mine, they said, well, you know what? We're gonna have what they call an emergency planner. This is gonna be the planner that will, if something breaks, something happens, he gets a hold of all the contractors, and he runs the contractors, and he does all this stuff, and he'll be in charge of expediting parts and stuff. So they were telling us that in the meeting. And all of the planners, myself included, there was 5 of us up there. He goes, okay, we're going to have an emergency planner. And I said, not me. Uh-uh. No, nobody wanted to be the emergency planner for the mill area. And my boss came to me, he says, Henry, the warehouse said they want you to be the warehouse. I go, what? You're kidding me, man. No, they want you to be the emergency planner. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that came because God was doing something in it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because I was listening. And that job came with a little kick. Is that right? We're going to give you a little more money because you might be here at 3 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Emergency Planner. And it happened a lot that way. One day, the Holy Spirit said to me, Henry, order 1 pinion bearing. These pinion bearings, they're about this tall. They got a shaft that'll go through them. It's about that big around. And they're $30,000 a set, $15,000 each. And I told the Holy Spirit, I said, Lord, we order those in sets. And he said, order 1. I said, we don't order them that way. We order them in sets. Order 1. I obeyed. I ordered it. Nobody knew for about 3 months. And then when it hit the warehouse, the amount had to be paid. And my boss comes in my door. He says, Henry, what are you doing? I said, hey, what are you talking about? He goes, you ordered one pinion bearing? I said, yes, sir. He goes, we order those in sets. I know. Well, why'd you order one? Here it comes. God told me to. Everybody, what? Who told you? The Lord told me to order one. He goes, and my boss looks at me and goes, well, Henry, tell the Lord we order them in sets. I got in trouble. I said, oh, whatever, man. So that bearing couldn't be put in the warehouse because they come in sets. You can't order it out of the warehouse because it's in the sets. So I had to stash it. My boss told me, take it out and hide it somewhere, man. See what happens. Another month went by. The guys on the shop floor were building a pinion, and they had just put two new bearings on it. And yeah, you know what happened. They had picked it up to put it in these, what they call pillow blocks, these things that set it down so they could bolt it in. And when they've got it in the air, one of the guys looks at it and he goes, yeah. One of the guys looked at him, he goes, this bearing's busted. Right away, I heard them call their supervisor. They call their supervisor and say, hey, we got one broken bearing on this thing. It's brand new. It's broken. And I heard my supervisor tell me, get a hold of Henry. And they needed one bearing, and I had the one bearing. And God had pre-set it up. Is that right? They thought I was miraculous. That Henry's on the ball, man. He had one bearing. They ordered him in sets, and he had one. You know, what the heck, man? But it's all for the glory of God. And it showed me something. God is very interested in whatever you're doing, folks. Wherever you're working, he's very interested in you, and he will help you. He will promote you if you'll let him, if you'll listen to him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Listen to him. Look what it says here. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, he just got through telling us that his ways are not our ways, and our ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. And he says this, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. See, God's desiring to give you seed. How many want seed? See, this seed, it grows things within you. A growth through the seed, the word of God. So shall my word be, is what it says. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing that I sent it. Now, folks, I want to just talk to you just a little bit about this word right here. This is not just spouting God's word all over the place. Can you say amen to that? You know the scripture. God said something in his house in the word of God. And so you just start spouting it out all over. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you being in such a communion with him that this snow. Do you know how delicate snow falls from heaven? Delicate. It's very delicate. Falls very gently. And then a good rain comes down. And this is the word of God. It begins delicately. And as you listen and listen and listen, it begins more water, more water, more water. And it's designed. To do what he wants it to do. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
This is why you just don't go spouting out scriptures to people. When you're talking to somebody, you have the Holy Ghost. He's dwelling in you. Wait for him to speak. Allow him to speak. And when he speaks, send it wherever he directs it. That's how this scripture works. And not just, well, you know, I don't know a scripture to throw out there. But by his stripes, we've been healed. Is that right? It's not just something you just throw that out there to somebody. You don't just throw your pearls out there. right? What you do is you wait for God. And when he speaks it to you, that's when you speak it. That's when you say the thing. It's called being led by the Spirit. And we all need that. Can you say amen to that? We all need to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. I got one more scripture to show you. It's Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. It's the first part. I'm sorry, Proverbs 32, verse 7. Hope you're not writing things down because I'm throwing out numbers. Proverbs 34? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. 23:7. Okay, put that out there. I don't know where I got that 32. 23:7. Proverbs 23:7. I'm asleep. Hallelujah. Just the first part of this, is the part I wanted to bring. It says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." You see, if you allow God to speak into your life on a daily basis, it will change you. It's how you think. His word coming into you will create a thought life that will be very, very pleasing to God. Can you say amen to that? Folks, let me just say this to you. Some of the thoughts that we might have as we're walking through the city and or wherever we're going, some of those things that come into your mind, those are the things you just push off. That are contrary to God, push those off and say, God, I don't want to think about that. I just want to think about what you might have for me here. No, God, I don't want to think about that guy that just cut me off. It's okay. You protected me. I'm good. Oh, God, I don't want to think about that lady with that short skirt. I'm good. God, I don't want to talk about that guy with them huge arms, right? Ladies, I don't know if that's... See, I don't know what girls look at, so what the heck, man? Let me just say it, but those things that, you know, those random things that we think about, God is saying, stop and look at them and just say, push them off. Don't allow them to come in. Let me just say that those thoughts you might have about another brother and sister, this is a big one, folks. If they're not good thoughts, back away. Say, I don't want to be there. I'm not going there. I will not. See, it's up to you. God gives us the authority, but it's up to you to use that authority to maintain your ship. Can you say amen to that? You have to choose what is good. The Bible talks about Jesus. He said before he's certain age, he's going to know what is good and what is evil. He's going to know it. And see, that's what we need to get. We need to get used to that thought. What's evil? Back away very quickly. Just say, I'm not going there. When somebody tells you, hey, well, you know, I don't like talking about people, and they throw in that word, huh? But you say, hey, stop right there, man. That's it. Let's stop. I've allowed myself to get into those things, and I say, Lord, I don't want to be those anymore. All I want to know about your children is what you tell me about your children. Because, folks, he will tell me about stuff. He will tell Pastor Rosie about stuff. He will tell Pastor John. He will tell Pastor Stella about stuff, about me, about y'all, whatever. Can you say amen to that? But it's got to be in a pure heart. If the heart is pure, then God will speak into a pure heart. Do you understand that? But if it's not pure, he says, I ain't going there. God says, I'm not going to go in there, man. I'm not going to talk about it there. You see, he knows us. I'm going to say, if there's anything I want to tell you this morning, God knows your thoughts. He knows you. You might think your thoughts are hidden, but you can't hide one. Not one. He knows us. Can you say amen to that? And that's a good place to be. Because I will tell you, folks, that God is calling on the body of Christ. God is calling for a maturity in the body of Christ that it hasn't been for decades. A reality about who he is in the earth today is coming upon us quicker than we think. Get ready by allowing him to transform your mind. Can you say amen? Can you stand? Let's pray.
Father, we thank you this morning. I thank you this morning for your word. God, I ask you, Lord, that you'd continue to speak to your children. Father, I thank you, Lord, that today is the day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have washed us from all of our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed us by your Spirit. And now, Lord, those little details, Father, the fine-tuning that we need in our lives, Father, speak to us clearly. Help us to find that that you have for us. We thank you for it, God, and we praise you for it this morning. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would bless my brothers and sisters more than they've seen, more than they know, by your Spirit within them, Father. I thank you for it, God, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Give somebody a hug. Tell them thanks for coming to church. And
thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.